Welcome to Reading the Grid, the podcast fueling your Formula One passion. Each week, we explore the stories behind books, movies, and shows that highlight this dynamic sport. Buckle up for a fast-paced journey through Formula One. Now let's jump into it. We're Erin and Ina, two former co-workers turned close friends who bonded over our shared excitement for Formula One and our desire to create a welcoming space for newer fans.
Erin, just one little interjection. So we actually bonded over our love for tennis, not Formula One initially, because we've been friends for over 6 years. And
this is true.
We became F1 fans.
This is true. We have been friends for much longer than we have been mutually bonded over Formula One. All right. So whether you've been hooked since Netflix's Drive to Survive or recently stumbled into the adrenaline-fueled world of F1, we're here to make your fandom journey fun, welcoming, and empowering.
So Erin, how did you become interested in F1?
All thanks to my husband and Drive to Survive. My husband, Peter, worked for Deutsche Post DHL. And as everyone knows, DHL is a big sponsor of F1 and is in charge of all the shipping logistics and getting the cars and the paddock and all the equipment around the globe. He's been fortunate enough to go to a couple of races and he has been a longtime fan of the sport. And so we would talk about it and I'm like, yeah, that just doesn't seem all that interesting to me because I don't know why. I just never thought much of it. Unfortunately for me, I could have been a fan much longer than I have been. He was watching Drive to Survive during COVID and he kept telling me, Erin, I really think you would like Drive to Survive. And I'm like, yeah, I just don't think so. I don't think that's for me. 2021, he was into season 3 and I sat down and it happened to be the episode of Grosjean's accident. And I was stunned watching it and was so concerned about Grosjean and what happened. And I was like, oh my God, he's got to be okay. Like, you need to go to the next episode. He is okay. Since then, because it was early into 2021, we actually started watching live races. I would joke with him and say, well, instead of breakfast at Wimbledon, we're having breakfast on Sundays with F1. And that became our ritual. And 2021 was a pretty exciting year, pretty exciting races, and one giant controversy, which might be the biggest controversy in all of sports history across multiple sports. That's actually the season that defined who my favorite driver is. So I would say since 2021, thank you to my husband, a lot of excitement, a couple rule breakings, or how did they phrase it? Interpretation of the rule and Drive to Survive. That's really what got me hooked.
So Erin just gave us a preview of the discussion we'll definitely dive into when we get into our reviews of Drive to Survive seasons. But for me, I'm a much more of a rookie fan than Erin because I didn't really get into Formula One until December 2023. It was all due to Drive to Survive. I was bored one day and Netflix recommended that my next show that I should watch is Drive to Survive. I thought I would watch a couple of episodes just to see what kind of show it was. Well, lo and behold, I'm deep into first season when I got to episode 8 and got introduced to my favorite driver and have been really immersed in the world of Formula One since then. Once I binged through all the Drive to Survive episodes that were available at the time, I had to consume other media. And so the first thing I found was Grill the Grid. Videos on YouTube, which were great and gave me more insight into personalities of the drivers that were sometimes a little bit different than how Drive to Survive portrays. I've also went down a really big Reddit rabbit hole and discovered so many things about the sport that I then had to fact check to make sure that was not just rumors, actual fact. And finally, I really started exploring the world of podcasts. And there's some great content out there. Nobody can cover absolutely everything in the world of F1. In the words of Madonna, who said she became a singer not because she had the best voice, but because she had something to say, I think our podcast can fill the void that we see currently and also to fill the time before the actual action begins.
I agree. I'm excited for us in this podcast, Ina, because you and I feel like in a way have been unofficial podcasters on our weekly chats. And now we just get to share our thoughts and ideas with everyone else who's willing to listen. So what is it about F1 as opposed to our original connection of tennis that has made this so irresistible?
For me, I really love the fact that it's both an individual and team sport. So, of course, tennis has doubles and mixed doubles as opposed to singles, but there's definitely a dichotomy because singles are prized so much more. And if you want to focus on singles, you don't have to watch doubles and mixed doubles. Whereas in Formula One, the teamwork aspect and the individual aspects are meshed together. So you kind of have to pay attention to both. And to me, that's what makes it super exciting. And I also like the fact that it's only 10 teams and 20 drivers next year to be grown to 11 teams and 22 drivers, but still very manageable number that you can easily keep track of for the period of a year, even when the drivers get swapped, which has happened and may happen again this year. I think that is also one of the things that makes it more accessible and easier to get into. What about you?
I agree with the drivers and the teams. I also think it adds to the allure of what really F1 is and why a lot of people initially start to follow the sport. It is an exclusive sport. There's a lot of money surrounding the sport. It's high luxury. There's so much in that arena that really attract people to it. I think the exciting part with the number of drivers is that is an elite group of drivers. They are the best of the best and true athletes and top performers. What Grill the Grid and Drive to Survive and part of the fun for fans, especially newer fans like us, is you really can't feel like you get to know the drivers. I also really like the global reach. For me, that's always been pretty exciting. I love getting to see the different races and learning about the different parts of the world where they've been. Especially races that they haven't done before, they might bring back or when they contract, and adding Vegas and a couple other exciting cities to the mix every year. The rule reset is pretty exciting because I feel like it levels the teams, and we're really going to see that in 2025 because I believe you told me that come April, all budgets are not going to be working on the cars currently. It'll all be going towards 2026, correct?
They can start working on 2026 car. If by that time certain cars become title contenders, obviously that's going to be like a Sophie's choice. Do you go with, trying to put maximize as much as you can for 2025 to get those championships, or do you prioritize 2026? The reverse can happen for cars that are out of contentions. They would, should we keep working to get closer because the title chances are not going to happen? Or do we just put everything in 2026? For instance, I'm thinking Williams and Aston Martin. For them, 2026 is obviously the priority. Whereas McLaren and Ferrari, well, Ferrari's probably tw like they really will have Sophie's choice because I think they really are wanting 2026 to be successful, and yet they will have a chance in 2025. Whereas McLaren have such a good car, so they probably want to maximize that chance in 2025. I think the real interesting fact was going to be to see Mercedes and Red Bull, because Mercedes, what do they do? Because their car is not going to be fantastic in 2025, will be capable of winning races, probably not going to be title contenders. At which point do you just switch to 2026? Same thing for Red Bull, because yes, they have a driver who could maximize whatever they put out. However, to keep that driver, they need to make sure that a 2026 car is very competitive.
Is competitive and
So.
ready to go. I agree. I think 2025 is going to be an interesting year for a lot of reasons, especially for what you just said, and the fact that there are five, correct? Rookies.
I think six,
Who's
because you
the
have Lawson, Antonelli,
Bierman
Bierman, Bartoletto, Hajar.
doing?
I mention Lawson?
Yes, you did. Doing?
Doing.
A lot of rookies. Could be a lot of accidents, which would be a lot of damage to cars, which will also be a really interesting thing to see what happens, what they do with those budget. I don't know. I think there's a lot of excitement. And the bottom line is it comes down to strategy, which I think has been the most fascinating thing for me in watching the teams and what they do. I feel like I'm yelling at my TV at times, like a football coach would for my team. And I'm like, no, they shouldn't be pitting now. Why did you put those tires on the car? What are you all thinking? Can't you see what's going on? I like to pretend that I'm also a team principal for most of the teams on the grid, particularly my favorite driver, which would bring to the question, do we support a team or a driver?
I'm going to put my cards on the table. It's definitely the driver. I happen to think that my favorite driver has a very good relationship with his team. So I end up rooting, obviously, for the team because my driver is with that team. I am very clear that if my driver ever moves, switches teams, I will switch with him because I will follow him for as long as time as he has in F1. What about you?
My driver actually switched teams this year, so I am now sporting new team color for the season when it goes live in March. So, driver first. I still am a fan of my driver's previous team. I want them to do well, but I am solidly rooting for the new team because that's where my driver went. We talked a lot about us and our introduction and what we think of the sport. I am sure everyone is dying to know why are we starting this podcast, which we've hinted a little bit at. To really give full disclosure on it and why we're so excited about it.
I want us to be F1 friends to everyone out there who is just starting their journey and getting into interested in Formula One. Actually, it's funny. I saw this one meme that I think is very close to how I feel about it, is that, you go about your life, doing whatever you're doing, being happy-go-lucky. And when you get to F1, your whole life revolves around the weekend where you're rooting for a driver who doesn't even know you exist, which is so true.
That is completely fair and accurate. I definitely do that.
So one of the goals of the podcast would probably be to kind of make that a little bit more fair, in which the driver's actually aware of us. I think the key here is that we want to create a podcast that is not overly technical, but is not afraid to learn about the technical aspect of the sport. We also want to try to avoid to use overcomplicated jargon. We want to actually embrace all the fans at all levels. There will not be any condescensions toward anyone's limited F1 knowledge. We also want to take this opportunity to provide some interactive fun. We're going to keep dropping Easter eggs and evolve topics to make our listeners part of the show. I think for me, the way that it happened in that I started thinking of creating my own podcast is I was talking to a coworker. We have a couple that actually watch the races, and I was bringing all the information that I've learned by listening to other podcasts. And another coworker who has no interest in F1 walked by and asked, "Well, you're listening to all these podcasts. Why are you spending so much time on this?" And before I knew it, I just said, "That's because I'm doing research for my own podcast." And once I put it out there, I thought, why not? It could be a reality. And once I talked to Aaron, it became closer to being in a reality. Günther Steiner, who is going to be a subject of our next episode, actually said that the most important thing is that you give something a go. So we'll provide context next week of where this quote came from. But I think that's what we're doing with our podcast. We had an idea, we're giving it a go, and we're hope and excited that it will succeed.
I cannot wait. I am so excited to be doing this with you. And I'm also very grateful that you're the one that is pronouncing Gunter's name because I do not want to be marked as a wanker for not pronouncing his name correctly. But on the flip side of that coin, that could also be a badge of honor. So who knows? So, Gunter, if you hear this, I hope I got that correct enough. If not, no offense taken if you add me to wanker of the week. We also want to make sure that the environment that we create is a really approachable vibe to be able to discuss F1 in an entertaining way and really hit on and embrace the pop culture impact and the content there. And to quote a very famous driver who we will reveal the speaker of the quote next week, in racing, there are always things you can learn every single day, which has been proven very true. If you look at mine and Ina's text threads, there are new things we share with each other every single day about F1 and through memes, the drivers, racing regulations, all of the above, which has been pretty exciting. If we were to set goals for our podcast, Ina, what is your number one goal?
I have a lot of goals for our podcast, but I think the most immediate one would be that our podcast becomes known within the F1 community and actually becomes a topic of conversation in the paddock. There is a segment coming up in the next couple of episodes, so I'm hoping whoever's listening to this one will stay on at least until then, because I think it's a very special segment and introduces guests who are close personal friends of F1 drivers, but have never been featured on any podcast. So, Aaron, what is your goal for the podcast?
My biggest goal, in addition to those, would be to actually get to go on a hot lap with my favorite driver. I think that would be one of the coolest things ever, which would also then mean we are at a race together, which we are working on logistics for attending our very first in-person F1 race. If my driver is not willing or able to withhold such a request, I have backup drivers 2 and 3, which we'll share next week because I don't think I've even told you who my backup drivers are, except the fact that it's not your favorite driver.
I do not take offense to that because I agree. I would not want to go on hot lap with my driver. And I'll explain next week why, and it's not because of his skill level.
No, I agree. It's definitely not because of that at all. To get this wrapped up, what can everyone expect from us and our podcast? Episodes are going to be released on Wednesdays for right now, probably Wednesday evenings.
And next week, it's very exciting because we will take you behind the pit wall by analyzing Günther Steiner's F1 book, Survive to Drive, A Year Inside Formula One. And in future episodes, we will dive into Drive to Survive season reviews, all in anticipation of the new season of Drive to Survive, where we will switch up the content, and you'll have to stay tuned to see how we do that.
There was a lot of excitement in 2024. And so Ina and I are pretty convinced that Netflix is going to have at least 2 hour episodes or 20 of them to encapsulate everything that happened last racing season.
As you've heard throughout this episode, we've been dropping hints of who our favorite drivers are. And there is one final clue. It's a little bit obscure, but I think our biggest fans could probably get it. So Aaron's favorite driver's best race in 2024 was my favorite driver's second worst race in 2024. And we will reveal not only who those drivers are, but that race and what happened during that.
That was quite the race. That is actually a wrap on today's inaugural episode of Reading the Grid. We look forward to having you join us next week to find out if you correctly guessed our favorite drivers and discuss Survive to Drive. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an update.
Would also love to hear from you, whether it's your thoughts on today's discussions, suggestions for F1 books, shows, or movies you want us to dive into, or even a shout out to your favorite driver. Connect with us on Instagram, YouTube, or X, or drop us an email at readingthegrid@gmail.com. We want your ideas to fuel the podcast, so don't be shy.
Thanks for joining us on Reading the Grid. Until next time, keep your engines running and your pages turning. See you soon.